Well, hello, and we're glad to have an opportunity to be together today, and we're glad you're listening to the broadcast. And we are going to be studying from the Bible today a very important subject, and that's how to have a better life and a better set of circumstances. We want God to be on our side, and we want to be on God's side. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, is having a great life, a wonderful life, an obedient life to God. First of all, we've got to have a faith, and we've got to hold on to our faith. Sometimes we get weak in faith. We don't have a strong faith, and that doesn't lead us to have a wonderful life. That leads to weakness. In Hebrews 10:22, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." And so, beloved, let me encourage you. Let me encourage you today as you seek to have a good year and a good life, that you hold on to the things that pertain to the Word of God. Our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And let us do all that we can to hold fast to that faith. That's how we receive the reward of heaven. The Bible also says in Hebrews 4:14, "Seeing then that you have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So to have a good life, to have a great life this year, to have a good year, to get to heaven, this may be the year that we leave this world. Let's hold on to our faith. Faith is so very important, and we need to hold on to it. I'm sure that many people have not remained faithful to God because they've let go of their faith. Hebrews 3:12 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." So we don't want to depart from the living God. We want to build up our faith. Now, one of the ways that we do that is that we assemble with the saints. "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together." I want to read again from Hebrews 10 and verse 25. "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together." What is an assembly? That's where we come together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Our day of leaving this world is coming, and we need to continue to assemble. There's where we can be encouraged. There's where we have people who want to go to heaven also. They want to live a good life as well. And so let us assemble. Let us meet together for worship. And that's not done on the computer and by way of the internet. That's not what God intended. Remember what we just read, Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." Listen to this passage in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 23. "If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad?" That was talking about spiritual gifts and speaking in tongues. But it also told us what the New Testament church did. They came together. They came together in assembly. They came together for singing and for prayer. The Bible says in Acts 20 and verse 7, that upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them under midnight, hoping to leave on the morrow. And so they came together. Hebrews 10:25, they came together. 1 Corinthians 14:23, they came together in one place. And so Christians are people who come together, and we worship together, and we encourage one another. We exhort one another. So I want to have a good year, and I know you do too. So we must do that by staying together. And then let us pray earnestly. Let us pray and ask for God's help each and every day. That's how we're going to live the good life. That's how we're going to have God's wonderful blessings upon us. In the book of James, chapter 5, listen to this, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In other words, it works. Prayer works. God hears prayer and God answers prayer. Matthew 7:11, ask and you shall receive, the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And God wants us to pray to him. This is very important. So let me encourage you to hold fast to your faith. Let me encourage you that to help you do that, assemble with the saints. Assemble for Bible class, assemble for worship, and then pray. Pray every day. Pray for God's help. Pray for the church. Pray earnestly. Pray fervently. That's what the Bible says. And then keep your heart right. Prepare to meet God. Amos 4:12 says, prepare to meet God. We're going to meet God, and we need to prepare for it. In Matthew 25:1-13, Jesus tells the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 of them were prepared for the coming of the bridegroom, and 5 of them were unprepared for the coming of the bridegroom, which is Jesus Christ. They were virgins. They were all waiting for Christ. 5 were prepared when he came, and 5 were unprepared. And the Bible says when the bridegroom came, the 5 wise went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And then the 5 foolish came and asked to come in, but the door was not opened. We must be preparing earnestly every day for meeting the Lord. Prepare to meet the Lord. And as you prepare to meet the Lord, keep yourself pure from sin. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. We're not only to abstain from evil, but the Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. And so we need to be ready, and we need to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. And we do not need to yield to sin and to the weaknesses of the flesh. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so let's live every day preparing for the last day of our lives, which actually could be today, or it may be this year, this month. We don't know when we're going to meet the Lord in judgment, but we are going to meet him. So to live a good life, to have a happy future, we must build our faith, we must assemble with the saints, we must earnestly pray every day, we must prepare ourselves to meet the Lord. And we do not need to be yielding to temptation, Because the Bible says in James 1, 13 through 15, that when we yield to the temptation, in other words, we give in to it, we sin. And the Bible says in Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. It's still the same as it was in the first century. So let's get ready for a new year. Let's prepare for it by doing the things that we're talking about. Then also, do not neglect the opportunities that you'll have this year. Have your eyes open. Be looking for opportunities. Galatians 6 and 10 teaches us, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those of the household of faith. We're to be people doers of good to all men. So we've got to be out there doing good this year. And that'll bring joy to your heart. You know, in the Matthew 25, we was referring to the 10 virgins a moment ago, that parable. Also in Matthew 25, Jesus tells about the great judgment day when he will come and sit upon the throne of his glory. He will not only come, but all of the holy angels will come with him. And the whole world will be assembled before him, and he'll separate them as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. He'll do that on that day. And then he will tell them on the right-hand side, come, enter the glory of thy Father, which is prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. For I was a-hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. So everything that we need to be doing is in preparation for the coming of the Lord. And just the small things, just visiting the sick, just giving someone a drink of water, someone a meal, we can do that. And we're doing good. And that's what God wants. Do not neglect the doing of good in your life. It'll bring joy to your life. But also, look at yourself and see if you're following Christ. A lot of times we're just doing what we want to do, and we're not having the mind of Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 that we are to examine ourselves to see if we are in the faith. Are you doing that? Are you looking at the Bible and say, am I doing what this book says? We just talked about do not neglect the opportunity to do good. Are you doing that? Are you even aware that you have opportunity to do good? So examine yourself and ask, am I following Jesus Christ? The Bible says, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He was in the form of God, but thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself and took on the form of a servant. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Now, Christ was a humble, obedient servant. Is that what you are being? I want to encourage you today to read your Bible. Read your Bible and pray. Search the things diligently. It's what the Bible says to do, to work diligently for the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15, we have a beautiful chapter about the resurrection. It's all about the resurrection. 57 verses are about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the dead. 57 verses. And then in that final verse of 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, in view of the resurrection of the dead, what are we supposed to be doing? It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we're to be working diligently, and our labor is not in vain, the Bible says. to have a great Christian life, and really to be a Christian, we got to have faith. Not only do we have to have faith, but we need to meet together with other Christians to worship. We need to be praying earnestly. That's what Christians do. We need to be preparing to meet God, preparing for that great day. And you're going to meet him, and I'm going to meet him. We're all going to meet him. It doesn't make any difference if you're old or young or smart or not smart. You're going to meet the Lord on the judgment day. And so do not neglect to do good. Don't neglect your talents. Examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. Labor, work, do the things that the Bible tells us to do. And the Bible also tells us to yield our bodies as instruments of righteousness. Oh, this is beautiful. This is so beautiful. You know, you can either serve evil or you can serve good. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 6. It says in verse 11, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin." What is a Christian? He is dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't commit sin. Why? We're dead to it. The first two verses of Romans 6 says, "Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who are dead to sin continue any longer therein?" And so Romans 6 and 12 says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, that your body, as instruments of righteousness unto God." And so yield yourselves as servants of God. Yield yourselves to be people who do good things. You serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how to have a wonderful, wonderful life. And then also really along the same lines, we are told to exercise ourselves unto godliness. Exercise ourselves unto godliness. Exercise is action. We're doing something. 1 Timothy 4 and 17 says, I'm sorry, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7 says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Let us exercise ourselves. Exercise develops our spiritual muscle power. We ought to grow stronger and more godly by exercising. In other words, carrying out God's will. Exercising means you're doing what God says. And you know, when you do that, that makes you stronger. And that's what we want to be. We don't want to be weaker. We want to be stronger. And so exercise yourself. If you don't physically exercise, your physical body will get weak. You'll get so weak you can't even stand up. You can't even walk. And that's from lack of exercise. And so spiritually it works the same way. So use your abilities. If you're a man and you can lead to singing, do that. If you neglect that, you'll lose your ability to lead the singing. And if you're a person who can teach the Bible, then you teach the Bible. If you stop teaching the Bible, you'll lose your knowledge and your ability to teach. And so let us exercise ourselves unto godliness. Let us visit the hospitals and visit the nursing homes. Let us go see the shut-ins and prepare food for them. And do things for them. Take them to the doctor. This will bring joy to your life and joy to their life. This is how we become the people that God wants us to be. And that's really who we want to do, what we want to do. We want to please God. We want to do the things that will honor Him and show respect to Him. And so let us realize we have got to eliminate sin from our lives. We've got to grow spiritually. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And sometimes we sin. And we need to pick ourselves up and pray and ask God to forgive us of our sins. 1 John 1, in verse number 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants us to go to heaven, and He knows that we need an avenue of forgiveness, and He's given us that by our prayer. But also remember to redeem the time. Our lives are made up of time, and if we waste all of our time just watching TV and just goofing off and sleeping, God doesn't want us to be lazy. God wants us to be active and to use our lives for Him. Ephesians 5:16 says, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." God wants us to be redeeming the time. Now is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Now, today is the day that we are to work for the Lord. And now we have time. If you put it off and put it off, listen, if you're a lost person and you keep putting off being saved, you're eventually going to be lost. You know, sometimes people will say, "Well, we're going to go drink a little bit." But you know, car wrecks happen. And if you're drinking and you have a car wreck and you lose your life, you will die being drunk. And guess what? You're going to lose your soul. And so let's determine we're not going to give in to sin. Every day and every moment of every day is important. We've got to prepare for eternal life. And so make a resolve. We have a song in our songbook that says, "I am resolved." I'm resolved. You be resolved to get yourself into the church, to read your Bible, to worship God with the saints, to pray, to do good things, to encourage other people. You're not accidentally going to go to heaven. You must prepare yourself to go to heaven. You must plan to go to heaven and purpose in your heart to do right and do your very best to carry out the Lord's will in your life. If you sin, repent, ask God to forgive you of your sins, and then start living the Christian life again. If you've never been baptized, that's what you need to do. You need to be baptized, as the Bible says, for the remission of your sins. Acts 2 and verse 38 and Acts 22 and verse 16. You need to arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's Acts 22 and verse number 16. You need to then live that Christian life. Confess your faith in Christ. Repent of your sins. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Be saved, and then live the Christian life. I appreciate our time together today. Thank you so much. Do these things that we've been studying about today so that you can live the happy Christian life and be prepared for the final day of your life, so that you will be pleasing unto God and you will be able to find a home in heaven. God bless you, my friends. We hope to see you next time. Bye for now.